The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Bridgestone, Miller Lite, and North Shore University Health System. Now, from Palace Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into the Bears Coaches Show here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Palace Hall in Lake Forest. Jeff Joniak with the head coach, Mark Trestman, and brought to you by McDonald's. Good evening, Coach. How you doing?
Good evening, Jeff.
You know, it was a 14-0 deficit again at halftime. It seems like a same old song, different verse for this team many times this season. So we start with that and just how things started slowly again.
Yeah, offensively, you know, we've been inconsistent, and we've been consistent on one thing, starting slowly. And, you know, we have to take responsibility for that, and we have. Extremely disappointing, exceptional effort by our defensive guys throughout the game. Certainly, that doesn't mean we played well enough to win, because we didn't. But we didn't give our defense any opportunity at all to get off the field and to get some rest.
Whenever this happens, when the offense isn't clicking and there's no rhythm, the first thing you do is think, okay, what are the other guys doing to make it seem so difficult to move the football, complete a pass, or whatever the case may be? Was it something like that? I know the Saints had some quotes that they were trying to wait to the last second to, but teams do that all the time.
You know, when you go through the grades, I seem to be a broken record in my response. You know, we're just not clicking on all cylinders, and we haven't. It's coming from different people at different times. There's opportunity there on the football field for offense to move the football. And we respect the defenses we play, and we certainly respect the team we played yesterday. You know, we haven't come together, and we're going to go to work on Thursday to try to get some of that done.
Have you tried everything to help get the offense?
It's not a lack of effort, but it's a lack of execution on a play-by-play, week-to-week basis.
Do you ever, in a situation like this, go drastic and come up with an entirely new way to do the same thing?
Well, we tried to get started by doing a little quicker tempo. We were huddling at the line of scrimmage, trying to move people around a little bit, going on some quicker snap counts. We did that, but we couldn't continue drives. And if you do that a couple times and your defense is out in the field, you can't put them in that situation. You've got to start using the clock and huddling up and do the things that you can play better continuity football, and that's what we did.
Was Jay having any, you know, trying to get used to the new guys as well, the Josh Morgans of the world? You know, he's been with them all year, but hasn't been targeted very often. Marquise Wilson, just knowing that intuitiveness of where they're going to be or where they're supposed to be and vice versa.
You know, I can't answer that for Jay, and we haven't had a chance to talk, you know, after the game. He had a day off today. You know, certainly there is some newness, but these guys get a lot of time to work together, and you don't have excuses in this business. We're not going to make any. We get time to work together and work things out, and it's never one guy, and it wasn't yesterday.
Several players, you know, expressed their frustrations. Dante Rosario is quoted as saying there was a lack of focus. Bennett, no rhythm or flow. Ryan Mundy says when it starts going bad, you can't help but think, here we go again. Does that even enter your mind sometimes as a head coach, or do you feel that?
Yeah, I try to focus on the game and keep the guys up. But Mark, our team's been through a lot. It's been, you know, quite an unusual year in all three phases, and certainly as a team. The team has, you know, worked hard to stay together and to do the things we've asked them to do. But obviously we're all human, and those things do go on.
Pressure was, you know, when you get a big lead like that, they're going to go and tee off. They blitz quite a bit. They had linebackers coming quite a bit. But I didn't see the whole game again. But watching Ryan Groy in the early part of the game, I thought he did a nice job in there at guard. What did you see?
Yeah, he did a very good job. He had one misassignment on a protection issue. But was good in the run game, and you know, signs that you know, down the road he can continue to grow and be a very good player.
All right, you mentioned the defense of line, and talk about that a little bit, because even at the end of the game, you know, you saw a motion from guys like Jeremiah Ratliff and Jared Allen trying to urge everybody on.
As I said, you know, when to a man, you know, we would say that each and every guy on the defensive side of the ball had a winning effort. That doesn't mean that everybody was making the plays or doing the things necessary to help us win. Not everybody was perfect in their assignments, but in terms of their willingness and their focus to try to get their job done, they did that.
I go back to even at the end of last season, just you and I chatting about the next schedule of 2014 and seeing all the quarterbacks, and you faced them all. And the math is unbelievable with the great quarterbacks, the Rodgers, the Bradys, the Romos, the Staffords, and Drew Brees. 23 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 146 quarterback rating for that group against the Bears. They just had so much success, and even yesterday a string of 14 consecutive completions by Drew Brees. Is that a testament to them finding every hole possible, or is that a combination of what the Bears are doing?
Well, I think it's a combination of you know, so many different things that are going on defensively. As I said, it's certainly effort's not the issue. You know, we're trying to put together a pass rush with a lot of young guys back there. You can't make excuses, but those are the facts. And these guys are learning on the job. And many of them are going to be very good players as they continue to get reps and get playing time.
I asked you this on the post-game show. You didn't really have a chance to think much about it. But the addition of putting a dime look with the extra corner and Al Lewis Jean having one safety on several snaps yesterday, the intent of that, what does that accomplish in terms of the defense?
You know, just to, again, get a you know, a faster athlete, you know, another athlete on the field who, you know, potentially can make a play for us.
And, again, a young player, though. It's sometimes out there. It's just, again, a lot of young players on the back end of the defense. And overall, the New Orleans Saints get what they had to do. They're in a fight for a playoff spot, and they came in here well-motivated.
They did. They turned the ball over early. We were in a game, and you know, as I told the guys after the game, I mean, these are very, very tough times for the Bears. You know, times where if you don't have perspective, you can really go into a tank. You can really do that as a player because you don't see the big picture. You know, I try to enlighten the guys that you know, we're going to go out in the next 2 weeks and certainly try to win the games, and at the same time, this kind of adversity can turn very, very quickly. That's the nature of the National Football League, and it's part of the backbone that you have to build and the adversity you have to face before you move into a new time and place, and that'll be coming soon for the Bears.
So when you say that's the big picture.
Yeah, the big picture is you know, giving them some perspective that there's a reason why this is happening, and there's a purpose behind what we're trying to do. I think they see that. They see that through their work ethic. They're just not seeing it on Sunday. And we're disappointed for our fans, quite frankly. Our fans were very evident last night that they were pulling for us to try to get this done last night. And, you know, I felt our fans, and I'm disappointed that we didn't get it done for them.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Takes from center, play fake, immediate pressure, throwing into the middle of the end zone, caught by Wilson for the touchdown, but there is a penalty marker. There is a penalty marker and a holding call on somebody, and it looks like it's on the Saints, and Marquise Wilson has his first NFL touchdown.
And that is true. The play of the week is brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Jeff Joniak with you until 7:30 tonight, talking Bears with head coach Mark Trestman. On that play, you guys are in the red zone. This is the fourth quarter, so you finally got on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little bit of juice, but, you know, for a kid to get his first NFL touchdown, no matter if it's a yard, because if that's what it was, a 1 yard, it's something.
Yeah, he was third in the progression. He got across the field. Jay found him, and gave him the football. It was nice to see him get the catch.
You know, I read a quote today from Aaron Rodgers, because he had his own show that he was doing up in Green Bay, and he was, you know, talking about the Buffalo game and his interceptions, and it's frustrating film to watch, but you can't lie and be washed over with the positive comments and not be comfortable with negative ones. I thought that was a well-put quote, even by a great quarterback who had a great year. Is that the same approach everybody's got to take, you know, with watching tape and watching yourself?
Yeah, you know, we're gonna compliment them when they do well, and we're gonna make the corrections and let them know what they need to do the next time to get better, whether it's fundamentals, techniques, alignment, assignments, whatever it is. You know, all those details are critically important to the success of a play.
You know, going back to the first segment, if you're just joining us now, Mark was talking about players seeing the big picture. about coaches? Do you still have that big picture in front of you during all of this?
Yeah, we're there to, you know, we understand what we're trying to get accomplished. You know, our focus week to week is number one, is, you know, bringing our love of the game and our passion for the game to our guys when they walk in the building and giving them a detailed plan out and how we're going to go about working the day and winning the game. It doesn't change week to week. And it starts today. I mean, we're in there. We're getting ready for Detroit. We're going to put the best game plan we can to get together for these guys in all three phases. And we try to stay focused on the things that we can control, and that's trying to get our players better on a daily basis in preparation to win a game on Sunday.
As the Bears try and figure things out on special teams, you know, that's a challenge, obviously, with the young players coming into the mix, too. But Patrick O'Donnell was definitely a bright spot. I know it's hard to find silver linings in something like this, but over his last half dozen games or so, his numbers look good. And yesterday had a big day with the leg, 3 inside the 20 and a 46-yard net.
And it's showing up in practice. I mean, he's, you know, we start practice with special teams work and usually with a punting game, you know, on the first day of practice. And he's got to be ready to go because he kind of sets the tone, you know, and he's hitting it the way he can hit it. It does set the tone for practice, and he's done that. He's been consistent, and the beauty of it is he's one of our players that is rolling it over and doing the same things or better, you know, on game day. So we're excited about that. He had a very good performance.
And Mark Mariani had a lot of opportunities. We mentioned him many times. He just runs hard, runs physical. You can tell he cares.
He cares. He uses his blocks. He's been a good addition to our locker room, this football team. He's a good personality. And he's a tough kid.
The fake punt, go back through that if you can, and why then?
We're looking for an edge. We're looking for a lift. You know, we had a play we've been working on for the entire year. And as I said, we had the look we wanted. We didn't have the numbers out there. And I said it yesterday. That's my responsibility. I'm not going to go any farther than that. We know when there's 10 guys on the field, our players know it. And I didn't help them. Could have gotten that done.
You mentioned O'Donnell rolling it over. One of the guys that are rolling over, you're referring to from practice, right?
That's correct.
So is that the big mystery this season, is what happens there and then what happens on game day?
Yeah, we haven't done that. We haven't done it, you know, in particularly offensively. I mean, we're in a different kind of mindset defensively. We've got a lot of young guys working. We're developing. We're not making excuses, but you know, that's the nature of where we are, and the guys are trying to overcome it with effort and, you know, assignment, making sure we're assignment right, and we're getting some of that, and we're growing through it. But offensively, you know, we've got a more experienced group, and we have throughout the year. We haven't gotten it done.
Do you adjust your own mindset on how what you see then during the week is maybe not what you think?
Well, you can only do the best you can in practice. I mean, our practices are set up a certain way that we can, you know, give our guys the best chance to, you know, see the things that they need to see and execute the things they need to get done on game day. And it hasn't, unlike last year, it hasn't transferred over on a consistent basis.
Before we go to traffic here real quick, Kyle Fuller, I almost forgot, he left the game. How's he? And what was it?
You know what? There was, you know, a couple of different issues. One with his hand, and forgive me, it's been a long day.
You know, the hand was the one thing that I knew about,
right.
But I didn't know. So anything?
Nothing. Okay. I don't think there's anything that's going to inhibit him. Anybody come out of that game looks like who had any kind of you know, something going on should be ready to go this week.
All right, short week with the Detroit Lions in for the home finale Sunday at Soldier Field.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
They go to work second and five at the 49-yard line, their own 49, right to left now. They're going to run it out of that. Here's Forte, starts right, bounces left to 45 of the Saints, 40, and turn the corner inside the 35-yard line and out of bounds at the 32. Pierre Warren shoves him out of bounds.
And Matt Forte, we gave him the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Jeff Joniak and Mark Trestman here on the Bears Coaches Show. Frustrating film to watch. Do you take more copious notes on what happened in that first half, or just whatever. I don't know how to even look at it anymore.
You know, that's right, because it's been a lot of the same. You know, we go over it, and you know, we'll go over it with our players exactly, and we'll do it quickly because we've got to go on to Detroit. You know, the things that we could have done better to continue drives. We're 2-12. We want to run the football. We're 2-12. We can't turn over third downs and into first down, so we can run the ball a little bit more and move the field and give Matt a chance to run it, which you know, he did a good job of running the football when he had his opportunities yesterday.
You know, that was a crazy thing too, because would you have 57 or 58 plays? They had 64, and I, you know, you wouldn't have guessed that. You would have guessed they had a lot more plays. There's that offensive efficiency differential. Shows up in the scoreboard and in the yardage, but not the number of play calls, you know, or
That's
time
right.
of possession.
That's right.
So, as we, let me take care of one thing here real quick. Greg, where's my sheet? I don't want to fall behind. Bears fans, now at Papa John's, get an extra large two-topping pizza for just $12. It's the Monster Deal. Order online today at papajohns.com with the promo code MONSTER. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's at 6:54 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Coming up in our next segment, we're joined by Bears assistants, defensive line coach Clint Hurt, and special teams assistant Dwayne Stukes, as we'll take a look at some specific players and so forth. Final game of the home season against these Detroit Lions. Obviously, there's a lot riding on it for them. They win their end to the playoffs, and then they got a big game against Green Bay. I know several of the players, including Jared Allen, they want to take that role of, you know, right now it's pride, but also if we can be spoilers. So is that the path you take?
Absolutely.
This week?
There's no reason why we can't get number 6 and 7 in the next 2 weeks. And we're going to focus on that. We can only do it, you know, one day at a time, but Sunday we're going to show up and try to get number 6. And our guys are going to work at it, and we'll go to work on Thursday to try to get that done.
The noise is really loud, to use your term. How do you handle that now? Same as you always have?
The only thing we can control is Detroit right now, and you know, our guys have pretty good perspective on it. It's been one of those years where they've really learned to understand what all this means, and that's the way we're approaching it, Jeff. We can't go about it any other way. There's nothing we can control outside this building. All we can control is what's in it, and we'll start again with the players on Thursday.
What are the players telling you these days?
Oh, they're disappointed. You know, everybody's got a something different to say. These guys love ball. They love this team. They want to do the right thing. And they come off of a couple days of being away, and they get some time to think about it. We'll see where they are on Thursday. They all have to make a choice when they walk in this door. How they're going to behave, how they're going to prepare, and how they're going to practice. And I've been proud of what they've done. We're not proud of what we've accomplished on the field on game day. Certainly not. We're bitterly disappointed about that up to this point. But we'll go back to work and do the best we can.
We'll touch on the linebackers. How did that go yesterday?
It went good. You know, as I said, at the linebacker level, we've seen growth in Shea, John, and Christian. You know, they're learning on the run at their two positions, at all three positions. You know, they're all new to what they're doing, but there's some good signs there.
That screen game that the Saints had with Pierre Thomas was pretty strong at the beginning of the game. They didn't go to it much after that, though.
Well, they had two good screens, and it was really impressive to see Jeremiah run that screen down over by our bench on the right side of our bench. That was an impressive play to see a man of that size run that fast and run that play down. It was a very encouraging thing to see, and the whole team appreciated that.
As we talk about the Detroit Lions specifically, from the first game, they're obviously everybody plays a little bit differently at home than they do on the road, but the same names are involved here. How to deal with them?
Yeah,
so let's begin with Calvin, because you know, you can try and double them all you want, but they have other weapons too. I mean, what do you do with Calvin?
Yeah, you just try to mix it up, and you try to get some heat on the quarterback, and you try to move some people around and coverages around, and you know, they've had their issues offensively this year. They've been inconsistent themselves. What stands out, and you know, I spend most of the day on the defensive side of the ball is just how impressive their defense is. They're number 1, 2, or 3 in almost every category defensively. You know that. You're the stat master.
Well, I know this.
They're three
stat master knows that they're allowing only 63 yards a game rushing.
Exactly, and 17 points a game, and you got to try to stay on the field and move the football in different ways, and and then you got to stop, a couple of good running backs, a couple of good tight ends, and Golden Tate's a heck of a receiver as well. He's great in the slot. He's great on the edge. He made a lot of plays against us last time. So, when Stafford gets hot, he's a tough guy to stop as well.
On first down, that's where you guys got killed with him. And even yesterday, the first down completions, they're almost perfect.
Yeah, first down is, something that, we point at to offensively, that we haven't been the team we were first down a year ago. It's always a point of emphasis with us. It makes everything else easier.
All right, Mark, thank you for your time.
You bet, Jeff.
And we'll talk to you throughout the course of the week. Coming up next, Clint Hurt and Dwayne Stukes, a pair of Bears assistant coaches, as we continue to look at the Bears and Lions and look at the game yesterday against the New Orleans Saints.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman. And this hour featuring assistant coaches Clint Hurt and Dwayne Stukes. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Verizon, Walgreens, and Xfinity. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
I got to give a shout out to the fans that's been here with us through thick and thin. They part of what's holding us together.
That is Willie Young, who picked up a sack yesterday, 9.5 in his 2014 debut with the Chicago Bears, and a loss to the New Orleans Saints yesterday. Welcome back into the Chicago Bears Network studios. Coming up on 7:05, and here with assistant coaches Clint Hurt in his first year with the Bears, and also Dwayne Stukes. And obviously, you've gotten to know Willie this season. He's full of energy in good and bad times. I mean, even in losses sometimes, he's got a smile on his face. That's not to indicate he's happy about what happened, but what's he been like, the coach, and just the season he's had?
He's been a pleasure to have every day, and he does bring energy every single day to the room and to the group, which has been obviously a pleasant surprise. I was a little familiar with him coming out of high school, and he was a high-energy guy then. So he definitely brings a positive atmosphere and mood to the room, and he's been battling through stuff the entire season, and he keeps the young guys engaged and help those guys understand, things aren't always going to go smoothly, but to bring a professional attitude and work ethic every day.
So the balance, just some banged up bruises type of thing, or just
playing just normal wear and tear.
Yeah, normal wear and tear. Yeah, which the young guys, and Dwayne, you've gotten to know Ego Ferguson and Will Sutton probably a little bit too, and we did a feature for our Bears Game Day Live show that'll be coming up here in a couple weeks. And man, just the youthful, you love to be young,
because
they don't know what they don't know just yet.
Absolutely.
And so more of that may be coming on the defensive side of the ball here and in days to come. You can't get enough of that. As young coaches, you guys probably relate a lot better to younger players. Yes, no?
Well, I mean, yeah, I would say so. Listening to those guys and the things that they go through and the experiences, and take Ego, for instance. He had a rough outing against the Cowboys, and highly celebrated offensive lineman, rightfully so, but he learned some lessons that day, and humbled them. And to his credit, made him come out. And he did a lot of good things, in the New Orleans games. Obviously, the end result is you want to win it. But for young players, you want to see them taking the necessary steps, towards the bigger and brighter days. And he's going to be a big part of everything we're trying to get done here with the Bears. So, he learned some things. And obviously, Will Sutton he's going through the same growing pains as well. Because in college right now, the season's over with. They're in bowl practices. And obviously, we're still out there competing and playing and but they're learning some valuable lessons, and they're getting better from it.
Yeah, they got pushed through the wall. And young players, I mean, they're all over the special teams unit. So, we've talked with Joe DeCamillis, obviously, on this show. So it's been crazy, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We had some guys leave that were veteran core special teams player. Now we're relying on the younger guys like Christian Jones, D.D. Lattimore, Sonoris Perry, mixed in with some of our veterans who've been here, like Danny McCray and Sherrick McManus. What we're trying to do is just catch those guys up to speed and let them perform. And myself and Jody have been spending time with those guys just trying to prepare them the best we can.
How do you coach penalties out of special teams, especially to start a game? Because that again happened yesterday.
That's a good question. In our system, we have techniques that we teach to players to avoid penalties. And right now we're getting in a situation where the younger guys are getting those penalties. If you look at the game, it's not necessarily our older guys who've been in the system for a year. It's the young guys who've just entered the system, and the understanding of it is not quite there. I know it's week 14, 15, but those guys are young, and they're used to doing things a certain way because they spent 4 years in college. Now you got to reteach those guys.
Must be pulling your hair out time when you see those things, though.
Doesn't matter. Got to have patience.
Yeah.
The Bears Coaches Show with assistant coaches Clint Hurd and Dwayne Stukes and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm level to play, heart, will, but that's not going to stop. That's never going to stop just because of, you know, who I am, who we are. And just got to keep moving forward.
That is a veteran speaking right there. Jeremiah Ratliff, the Bears' defensive tackle, back after missing a couple of games with a sore knee as the Bears failed to get things done against the New Orleans Saints, dropping a 31-15 final at Soldier Field yesterday, here with Bears assistant coaches. And I loved having him back because I think there's a lot lost when he's not in there. Defensive tackle, no disrespect to the young guys, but he just sets a different tone. Clint Hurt, is that what we see? Is that what you see every day with Jeremiah Ratliff?
Oh, absolutely. It makes a huge difference to not just the line room, but our whole defense when he's out there. His heart, his spirit, how hard he plays, and he just has an edge to him that you want other guys to be able to see and embody what he brings every single day that he's out there. So he's been a guy, I obviously heard about him and whatnot, but being here has been a pleasure to be around him and watch him work in practice, watch him work in the weight room, and when he gets out in the games, he plays every snap like it's his last one, you know. So he's been a pleasure.
You guys, as younger coaches, and you know, you've coached in both. You've coached in college, obviously for many years, and you were with Tampa Bay in the past as well. How does the losing ever get any less painful day to day? I mean, is this some of the worst you've been through?
I think when you prepare through the week, everybody expects to win. We don't go out there expecting to lose. So when you put all this, and I'm talking about the players as well, when you put all the effort into going out and win a game and then you lose three games in a row, it's disheartening. And these guys are giving all they have in practice, in the games, and the coaches as well. It's just tough. No loss ever gets easy. And people deal with it different ways. On me, it's tough. It's tough.
How do you deal with it? Individually, what do you got?
You gotta
keep it clean, though.
Yeah. You gotta be able to go and find. You gotta be able to find positives, you know, and you gotta address the issues when there's issues that you know that you're not coaching, and things that you've coached already to correct and make it through is what you have to do, you know. And it never gets easy. If ever taking a loss gets easy, you gotta get out. You gotta find something else to do. And it's not just in football. I think in life, you just don't accept it. But at the same time, you know, I've been through this as a player in college, and I've been through it as a coach as well, where you try to rebuild something. And, you know, the growing pains are difficult. No one likes it. The fans don't like it. You know, coaches don't like it. Players better not like it. You know, but you got to be able to weather the storm. And as you go through things, you make the corrections, you know, with the guys. And everybody has to stay in it together, stay as a united front, because there's brighter days ahead, and everybody's going to get what they want. You know, and sometimes it's bleak and it's hard to see. But you stay the course and continue to do the right things, and guys continue to develop, and coaches all stay with the plan, and you see your way through. But I mean, you have to look to the future in order to make it through tough times like this. Because if you just pack up and quit and just say, "Oh, this is not going to work," I mean, what are you doing it for? You know. So that's always been my approach with it, and going through what we're trying to go through right now.
I'm still not over yesterday.
Well, you probably won't be.
Well, I'm not over it. We've got to learn.
You know, the common theme of some of these, though, are repetitive mistakes and the inconsistency, two words that you hear often when teams are not winning teams. So as young coaches, how do you deal with the repetitive mistakes that, you know, you would think that players would learn and then fix?
I think
how do you do that?
You have to understand the players that we're dealing with right now. Our roster is pretty young, and I know everybody keeps saying that, and you get tired of hearing that as a coach. But you have to reteach these guys what they learned in college, and then also you have to motivate these guys to do what you want them to do. And you know, all the coaches on our staff, starting with Mark, have been very demanding in what we want to get accomplished as a team, and it goes down from Joe to myself to Clint to, you know, the coordinators, Chrome and Tuck, and all the coaches, really. You just got to motivate these guys to keep going and to buy into what we want to get done.
You guys both, I would say, have an edge to you. Are you guys hard-nosed coaches?
Yes.
I would say so.
Yes, I'll say yes.
Yeah, I mean, you have a serious approach to the job. You know, even in the hallways, you know, it's not like these guys don't say hello, but, you know, you can tell that you guys are serious coaches. Is that easy for guys, even veterans, to see from, again, younger coaches? It's not like you guys are, like, you know, brand new, but you guys have been in the college game, you know, for the bulk of your careers.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what Clint said earlier. You find a way to relate to these guys. If you can relate to them and they respect you, then they'll listen. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. I think as a coach, if you know what you're talking about and you coach these guys and you motivate them to play to the best of their ability, then they'll find a way to listen to you and understand what you're trying to get across to them.
You got to give them something that they feel will make them better, right?
Absolutely. You know, they'll find out very quickly if you know what you're talking about. So, you know, obviously you got to be clear and concise with what you want. You got to be demanding. You know, even with veteran guys, you know, guys like Jared and Jay, they want to be pushed. You know, they want to be pushed and they want to be corrected when they know they're wrong. And, you know, they've been in the game long enough. They know when fundamentally if they've stepped wrong, hand placement was bad, they made a mistake in the rush or disengaging a block, they know pretty quickly. But they like it when you address it, you know, and I'm the type of person, I'm going to try to find every little thing to nitpick on you about, even if it gets on your nerves, you know. And I love doing that to Jared. So, you know, it's you got to do those things.
All right.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back to the program, everybody, as we visit with Clint Hurt and Dwayne Stukes. Listen to the next Bears All-Access Radio Show brought to you by Sports Authority this Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. And the Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Remaining moments with the two assistant coaches on the Bears here. Clint, you were an outstanding recruiter in college. Your buddy here's snickering, but it's the truth. The man had a national reputation. You know a ton of these guys that now you're game planning against and trying to help. Is there a number? How many of these guys did you recruit there on this team right now? Do you know offhand?
Oh, boy.
Half a dozen, maybe more?
Yeah, I mean, Demontre Hurst, Al Lewis, Gene, you know, Brandon Dunn, Sonoris, obviously. Christian Jones, I recruited him out of high school as well. I mean, there's a good number of guys. There's a good number. Josh Bellamy was there with us at Louisville as well. And then every week we see somebody.
Does it help you in any way now?
Oh, absolutely.
That you're in the league.
It's knowing, it obviously helps you know personnel, you know, the guys who you're going against and what they're all about. Like, I helped with Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham was a basketball player in Miami while I was there. I spent 3 years begging Frank Haith to let him come out and play football. And then finally,
Jimmy. So it's your fault?
Yeah, I guess so. Knowing all those guys, kind of being familiar with your personnel and whatnot, it definitely helps, you know.
Did you recruit at all, Dwayne?
No.
No?
Nope.
So you just don't know how good he is.
This is my guy. I got to give him a tough time.
Tell me about Sonoris Perry, because we were talking about it on the commercial break, because he's clearly played well on special teams and piling up some tackles. And you recruited him, obviously, helped out to recruit him to Louisville. So each give me a thought on him before we let you guys go.
Sure. I think, and I spoke to Joe D today about this, I think Sonoris is getting better. He's a little inconsistent in his play, but from day one to now, he's definitely gotten better. He's made plays in space, and he's tried to do what we've asked him to do. And I believe right now he's leading the team in tackles. So he's an explosive player, a good athlete that will try to give his all and do what you ask him to do, and that's what we like about him.
You know, he was part of our first recruiting class at Louisville when we all came in. And, you know, he was a kid that was really lost. He came from a small town in Georgia, Somerville. But he was a heck of an athlete. You know, 6-foot kid, 200 pounds and change. He could run. And so he came in at defensive back, and he wasn't very good initially, but he is a kid that was always a very good special teams player and really developed over the course of time, his years there. Would have been a 1,000-yard rusher, except he aired his ACL as a junior. Senior year, kind of worked his way back. And when the, you know, I came here and we were talking about rookie free agents and whatnot, you know, I threw it out to Joe D and Marty Barrett. I said, you know, there's a kid, you know, at Louisville, because he's tough, he's competitive, you know, a guy that kind of the meat and potatoes guy that kind of helps fill out your team. You know, I think he's a kid that can be successful. And if he didn't come here as a tryout, he was actually going to that team up north. Where
oh,
we're supposed to go.
We don't mention that team.
No, that's why I didn't say their name.
we got to let you guys go. We got to get back to Mark Trestman. Thank you guys so much, Glenn Hurt.
Thanks, thank
and
you.
Wayne Stukes.
Thank you for having us.
Slow start for the Bears. Another story that we've seen many times before this season. Mark Trestman addressed it earlier tonight.
Yeah, offensively, you know, we've been inconsistent, and we've been consistent on one thing, starting slowly. And, you know, we have to take responsibility for that, and we have. Extremely disappointing, exceptional effort by our defensive guys throughout the game. Certainly, that doesn't mean we played well enough to win, because we didn't. But we didn't give our defense any opportunity at all to get off the field and to get some rest.
Whenever this happens, when the offense isn't clicking and there's no rhythm, the first thing you do is think, okay, what are the other guys doing to make it seems so difficult to move the football, complete a pass, or whatever the case may be. Was it something like that? I know the Saints had some quotes that they were trying to wait to the last second to, but teams do that all the time.
You know, when you go through the grades, I seem to be a broken record in my response. You know, we're just not clicking on all cylinders, and we haven't. It's coming from different people at different times. There's opportunity there on the football field for offense to move the football. And we respect the defenses we play, and we certainly respect the team we played yesterday. But you know, we haven't come together, and we're going to go to work on Thursday to try to get some of that done.
Have you tried everything to help get the offense?
It's not a lack of effort, but it's a lack of execution on a play-by-play, week-to-week basis.
Do you ever, in a situation like this, go drastic and come up with an entirely new way to do the same thing?
Well, we tried to get started by doing a little quicker tempo. We were huddling at the line of scrimmage, trying to move people around a little bit, going on some quicker snap counts. We did that, but we couldn't continue drives. And after you do that a couple times and your defense is out in the field, you can't put them in that situation. You've got to start using the clock and huddling up and do the things that you can play better continuity football, and that's what we did.
Was Jay having any, you know, trying to get used to the new guys as well, the Josh Morgans of the world? You know, he's been with them all year, but hasn't been targeted very often. Marquise Wilson, just knowing that intuitiveness of where they're going to be or where they're supposed to be and vice versa?
You know, I can't answer that for Jay, and we haven't had a chance to talk, you know, after the game. He had a day off today. But you know, certainly there is some newness, but these guys get a lot of time to work together, and you don't have excuses in this business. We're not going to make any. We get time to work together and work things out, and it's never one guy, and it wasn't yesterday.
Several players, you know, expressed their frustrations. Dante Rosario is quoted as saying there was a lack of focus. Bennett, no rhythm or flow. Ryan Mundy says when it starts going bad, you can't help but think, here we go again. Does that even enter your mind sometimes, as a head coach, or do you feel that?
Yeah, try to focus on the game and keep the guys up. But Mark, our team's been through a lot. It's been, you know, quite an unusual year in all three phases, and certainly as a team. The team has, you know, worked hard to stay together and to do the things we've asked them to do. But obviously we're all human, and those things do go on.
Pressure was... You know, when you get a big like that, they're going to go and tee off. They blitz quite a bit. They had linebackers coming quite a bit. But I didn't see the whole game again. But watching Ryan Groy in the early part of the game, I thought he did a nice job in there at guard. What did you see?
Yeah, he did a very good job. He had one misassignment on a protection issue, but was good in the run game. And, you know, signs that, you know, down the road he can continue to grow and be a very good player.
And that's the Bears Coaches Show for tonight. Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. That'll do it tonight. I'm Jeff Joniak. Have a good night, everybody.